Welcome back. Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this Communion Sunday. Thank you for a day that we remember. We remember you. We remember what you sacrificed, what you gave up, so that we might live. So that we might live now and forever with you. Take these words, bless them, use your word, and just work it in us and through us, and help us to just know how good you are. This day we pray. Amen. Been in a series called Threads. Threads is a way of kind of describing how the Old Testament was used in the New Testament. And how over and over again the writers kept just pulling various threads to just try to help everyone that's reading it, that's hearing it, saying and make that connection that Jesus was this Messiah, this promised anointed king, the one true king. And it really kind of comes from this phrase, as it is written. Acts 15:15, as it is written, is just a beautiful way of kind of just for us to kind of see again and again and again that there's just not, they didn't just make this up. They weren't just trying to just kind of, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I mean, they were convinced to the point of giving up their lives. And so my burden is that we would all be good readers of God's word so that we can become good doers of God's word. And it's one of those things that we need the whole Bible. We need the whole thing, not just one part, not just our favorite verse. Even though those are great, we need God to do a deeper work. And so to do that, we want to become whole people. That as we are changed and transformed from the inside out, we actually become God's holy people. And in that holiness, we can get a chance to join the Lord in what he's doing in this world. That believe it or not, he wants to use you and he wants to use me in the work and the ministry that he's doing in this world. And that's humbling. That's greatly humbling. But here's the thing. I mean, that's the generosity of God. He wants you and I to be working in step with him. We kind of see this in the whole book of Mark, beginning with how John the Baptizer just kind of sets off the alarm and says, hey, wake up, people. Pay attention. God's doing a new thing. And he just declares this, that God is sending his one promised Messiah, and in that Messiah we can have life. And it takes us to really consider and answer the question of who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that is so captivating, so compelling, that it forces us to lean in more and just really realize and declare that he is Lord, that he is King. And in that kingdom, we need to seek him first. That he is first and foremost the focus of our lives. And so it's important for you and I to be about what he's about. But before we can go do, we have to again know and be. And in that knowing and being, then we're then sent out to spread the word, to go and tell others of the good news, the promise that was made, the promise that was kept in this Jesus. And so I hope that this will connect with you today. We have some special things lined up, so I hope it makes sense. But we're going to be looking at the end of chapter, end of Mark in chapter 16. And the really, it's the end of Mark. It's kind of the way it ends is very unique, very different. And yet, then if you look, if you have a printed Bible especially, you'll see from verses 9 to 20, kind of like italicized, there'll be like asterisks, there'll be like these small little words sometimes in the Bible that say, you know, we really think this was added on later kind of thing, right? And that's like the only major section that we have of the entire scripture that's like that. We really believe that Mark didn't end it here at verse 8, and that was his ending. We think that probably something happened to the scroll that just kind of got torn off, whether it be from wear and tear or something that just maybe the sun, you know, kind of hit the scrolls the way that, you know, people would touch them, the oils. So there's lots of different ideas. It wouldn't have been much longer, you know, but we believe that the people who came afterwards, the scribes and stuff that transcribed this thing, that, you know, our witnesses that we have, that they tried to help make sense to pull in things from other gospels and things like that to kind of bring it, you know, to a nice ending. But it's not the ending's bad, it's just that of the earliest manuscripts, we don't have that. And so we have everything up to verse 8 And, you know, and then all our witnesses really support that and stuff. So I just want to just kind of end on verse 8, and then we'll kind of unpack it. But just to kind of let you know, take a deep breath, that this shouldn't crush anyone's faith, that we can trust the words here on the page. They're just trying to have integrity and share with you that, hey, listen, there's some questions here. And I think that's good. We need that. This wasn't something they just kind of took, you know, just to like, no, we got to do it. I mean, they were really like, listen, let's be transparent and let people know this is what the evidence says, you know. So, but let's jump in here, okay? And so we have this text that early on, Jesus has now died. He has been buried. He was buried right before the Sabbath. So it would have been Friday evening, right before the Sabbath started. And he started again. The Sabbath starts Friday night and ends Saturday evening. And so you have this death, okay, Friday night, okay, day two, Sabbath, you know, first night, then Sabbath, second night, and then day three is this, now we have this, the ladies who were at the foot of the cross, watching Jesus breathe his last, their heart was, man, we didn't even have time. It was such a rush to try to get him buried before the Sabbath started, that they just pretty much put him in a borrowed tomb. They didn't even prepare the body. And so they're just like, listen, we want to make sure that we serve him well, honor him well. Okay, so just kind of give you the background of that. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? So they're on their way, they get their spices early in the morning, and they're just kind of talking like, so, I don't know about you, but I don't know how we're going to move the stone, right? Like, how's this going to work? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Again, they're a little like, what's going on? As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. An angel. Let's just kind of jump there, just to let you know. And they were alarmed. Like, this is a big deal, right? Like, whoa, wait a minute. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He died, in other words, right? He died a real death. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going on ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. And this is one of those endings you just go, whoa, like, what? They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They said nothing to anyone because they were just so overwhelmed by the fear. And I just want to throw that out there, just kind of let you think through that, because I think that it's important for us that you and I know that this was not what they expected. They went there not expecting him to rise because why? Because they have the actual like burial spices, all the things to prepare the body so it doesn't stinketh, okay? And so here, they're expecting Jesus to still be dead. Now, all throughout Mark, over and over and over again, Jesus declares he's going to suffer. He's going to die. It's going to be a real tough, very difficult time there. And then he's going to rise from the dead. And he even says, on the third day, I will rise again and again and again. He's shared this. Apparently, they just didn't get it. They didn't understand that. Another aspect that I think is really important is that they don't tell anyone. They don't tell anyone. Like the angel says, now go and tell. Now, if you've been tracking with us, or if you're a fan of Mark, if you're not, let me kind of put some things together. But if you've been following with us, over and over and over again, as you read Mark, you see this, whenever Jesus heals someone, whenever he, just about every time, whenever he does a miraculous thing, he's like telling people, don't tell anybody, just keep it to yourself. Because he knew this was going to lead to his arrest. He knew these acts of being the promised Messiah, the promised king, was going to get him in trouble with the Jewish leaders as well as with Rome. He knew it was coming, so he, you know, he's like, listen, let's just, you know, keep it down, right? And again and again and again, they keep telling. They can't stop from telling. And these ladies are told to now finally go tell, and they do not tell anyone. Now, before you maybe jumped in my bandwagon kind of thing. And I'm like judging these ladies as I'm reading them going, oh, come on. Like, this is your time. This is your opportunity, right? I've never walked in on a grave site area or, you know, a burial area and been visited by an angel and been told that he's risen from the grave. And he's actually already in Galilee waiting to visit with everyone else. And it's like, I mean, they just had to just be at a great loss. So this leads for me, I mean, the ladies disobey, right? They're afraid. That should give us some encouragement. When there are times in our lives we're afraid, we don't maybe honor or follow God's leading the way we should. This isn't the end for us, right? It wasn't the end for the disciples. It wasn't the end for those ladies. But no, they're told to go tell the disciples and Peter, because Peter kind of just, he really had a major epic failing for sure. But it brings up the question again for us is, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that declared who he was, declared how God had sent him, promised that this was going to happen several times, and he was going to rise from the dead? Every one of us has to come to a point and answer that question for ourselves. And then I think this is very interesting in the fact that we have to, the angel kind of paints this picture that he's on ahead. He's already on mission. He's still on mission, and he's on this way, and we're going to need to catch up to him kind of thing. We're going to, you know, tell disciples, and then we're going to kind of all meet up together. But where is he going in your life? Where is he going and leading that he wants to invite you into this journey? You and I have to wrestle with that, and each of us individually. If you've been with us a little bit, you might have heard the term frontline ministry. We're throwing around some different ideas. Maybe, you know, help people find their sweet spot, help people find where God has placed them for a purpose, how they can develop their gifts, their abilities, their skills to minister to where God has placed them. It could be with your grandchildren. It could be people, believe it or not, I know I'm stepping close to some landmines here, on social media. It could be just sharing a kind, generous, good word with people, a word of hope. It could be with family and friends. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be where you work. Where has God placed you? Where do you spend the most of your time? And how is God wanting you to be his hands and his feet? Salt or light? How can you be where God has you and be fully present and fully aware? And so you're going to hear a story here in a moment, but just know this, it's not about having it all figured out. It's not about knowing all the answers. People are going to ask you questions. It's not about trying to convince or argue anyone into the kingdom. That doesn't work. But it is about asking good questions. It is about being present. It's about following God's lead. It's about praying for the people God has put us near and around. Let's see how the writer of Mark actually ended this for us today. And it comes in verse 19. He says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, now he's already visited with them. He said several other things again in this ending, and he says he's been taken up to be with God. Okay, heaven, that's where God's domain is, and sits at the right hand of God. That, in other words, he's now starting as king. That everything is now under his feet. And now the disciples and now the followers of Jesus seem to get it, because we see this as the ending. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word. The Lord, he worked with them, he wants to work with you. That as they followed, as they obeyed, they preached everywhere. They shared. They shared their story with other people. This is an epic story that we must learn to share. The story that God is telling, has told, and is living now in us and through us and in the world, it's about sharing our faith with respect and generosity. It's about us knowing that God loves them more than we do, and doing it in a way that helps them, that invites them to lean in and ask better questions. It doesn't mean that you can't speak truth, but you need to speak the truth in love. And so it's about us no matter who and where we are or where we're from, letting God use us to share this story that is just so compelling. And so I'm going to turn your attention here now to a story from AVPC, from All Villages, of someone that's sharing about how where God has placed them and how they use their lives, their everyday lives, to help honor God and to help him and be on mission with God. And so I hope this encourages you. We'll be joining together right after this.
I'm Steve Sill. I'm an elder here at All Villages Presbyterian Church. And today we're here on All Villages Online. And today I'm interviewing Maria Ramkissoon. We're talking about frontline ministry. And let's kind of pick her brain a little bit on her takes and her challenges. So jumping right into it. Actually, Maria, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, your career, and your things that you do at All Villages Presbyterian Church.
Well, thank you, Steve. Maria Ramkissoon. I have been a longtime member of the church. We started worshiping when we were at Manatee back 2004. We weren't quite there for the groundbreaking, but not too soon thereafter. We had come and joined. The kids actually were the ones that drew us because we were looking for vacation Bible school. And that would be Christopher and Sarah. They were first grade and kindergartners back then, so that's been quite a bit, quite a while. So as far as what I do at church, I've served as an elder, currently not active, Sunday school teacher, vacation Bible school director, school board member, and just, anytime you need anything, you can give me a call, right, Amanda?
Okay, pretty simple things here. I just got a couple quick questions for you. And I want you to think about is where you will be tomorrow during the day, your main part of your day, and being there, what is your frontline ministry? What are your opportunities? And what are your challenges?
So my frontline ministry is I'm a teacher. So I'm in the classroom Monday through Friday from about 8 to 5. And of course, majority of that is with kids. I'm back in kindergarten after being in second grade for a few years. And so having the growth that you see in students is really, one of the driving forces for doing what I do. Opportunities that I have is building relationships and most importantly is showing the love of Christ. We tell the kids a lot of times that treat others the way you want to be treated. And so that's what I try to model to them with sharing love with them. And that's relatively easy, when they're so cute, challenging when they're not, but opportunities for as being in the front line is building those relationships. This time around, it's a little bit difficult, challenging with COVID when it comes to my coworkers, interacting with my coworkers, because we're not able to meet anymore as we did. And that was something that I tried to build on relationships with them, to share God's love with them, whether they go to church or not. And more often than not, we found a lot of connection in faith, but not meeting as we used to is a challenge. So we work on the opportunities that we do have in when we do meet, encouraging one another. Opportunities that I look for encouraging others are also with the parents, because the kids have many challenges at home. And as we had gone and started virtual school in the spring, I had a grandmother who was having a hard time with her grandson, she not being able to get him on the computer and all doing the work that he needed. And when her husband wasn't able to do it because he was in the hospital and going to go into surgery. And as I talked with her, my heart broke for her. And I hope thinking back that I was able to encourage her some with my words, but then I also was able to get her a prayer shawl and send it to her that I think was an opportunity that I did not let pass in sharing, you know, God's love, encouragement, and hope. And so that's what I look for, those opportunities. And we make the best of what we can with the challenges, not losing that hope.
And then again, the last question I have for you is, you seem to have a pretty good grasp on what frontline ministry is. So if there's someone that's new to it, not sure what's going on, what would you say in a nutshell is frontline ministry, and what advice would you give them?
I think that and my advice would be to think of frontline as, you know, an environment you're already familiar with, like the church. And so if you think as that frontline that you're in as the church, you're going to treat everyone you come across you know, in the best way you can. You know, you're sharing your love, your grace, you're extending grace, you're encouraging you. If you do what for them, what you do for people at church, it's all it takes. You know, it makes that connection of we're Christians, this is our front line. It's all in one. I think that right now, just, you know, praying for myself, my family, the students and their families in this time of uncertainty, that our health, we stay in good health, and that we can just stay positive and remain hopeful.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this servant of yours and all the work that she has done for the church, for her community, for her schools, for her kids. She has really had herself out there, put herself out there for everybody. I ask that you put a hedge of protection around her and her family during this time of COVID when she is with, as she says, all the little ones. Keep her healthy, keep her family healthy, so she can continue to do your mission. We pray this in all in your heavenly name. Amen. Thank you.
Well, isn't that just a powerful story? And Maria is not the only one. Without Gobin support, that doesn't work, her husband. But it's about her taking her everyday life and seeing it as her mission. The training is something you do ongoing. It's something you do as you read God's word, as you discuss it with brothers and sisters in Christ, as you lean into what God wants to do. You start to see how God works with you and how he provides the words that you need to have and the grace and even the patience as a kindergarten teacher. God bless you. But this is how the thread works, okay? So this thread of what was going on in the Old Testament, now in the New Testament, and I take this right from Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. It was a way of saying, again, you're going to be king. You are now going to be called Lord. And Lord, not as just a term of respect and reverence, but Lord as in the one true king. This thread might be small, but it's so important that the once promised one, the once promised king, the anointed one, the one who is going to restore, going to renew, going to reclaim, going to redeem and renew the whole world is now the king. And may that encourage you, may that support where you're at with the Lord, of who this Jesus is. May you lean in and not just discover, but may you believe to the core of who you are, that God is who he says he is, that he sent this Jesus to be this one true king, and he still is reigning. You know, some of the reasons I think that, or some of the things that I've been able to explore in this shorter ending of Mark, that we kind of just have this, and they left all afraid and they didn't tell anyone. And then some scribes put on some other stuff, and it was all good and all works out. But I just think it gives an opportunity for us to explore our own faith, explore those questions that we might have that's deep down about, you know, where Where am I maybe taking the Lord for granted? Where am I maybe not really speaking out? Am I afraid of anything that I'm not able to turn over to the Lord? Is there something in my life that I don't have God's peace? I don't have his presence in a way that is almost tangible. He gives us his promise of presence. When most people pray, you know, I share this with a lot of people, when people pray, you know, Lord, be with us, I kind of, my first reaction is, he's already answered that prayer. He said, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. I'm with you. But I know when people are saying that, what they're saying is, Lord, help us to be aware of your presence, right? Help us to be more aware of what you're doing. And part of that means we got to make sure we're not taking our faith in Jesus for granted. Part of that is us making sure that we're seeking to make him known. Now, again, we have to first know him in order to help make him known. And so I want to encourage you in that. One of the ways is by reading together in Scripture. Again, we're going to be continue to do this together, but I'm going to invite you now to read 2 Peter and Jude. Now, they might say, whoa, that's like two different books, two different letters. They are, but again, we've written around, we believe, the same time. And so we have the 2 Peter, it's like three chapters, and Jude, which is one chapter. So I'm asking you to read four chapters. That's less than one chapter a day. I know you can handle it. And I think it'll really bless you. You'll have questions, but that's where we'll hopefully enjoy our time together next week. But I hope that you're encouraged in this. I hope that you're challenged by it. But be encouraged. Know of God's love for you. And we just are so excited that we can celebrate together, even through this medium, whether you're in Texas or Indiana or wherever you find yourself this morning. Know that God has you here for a reason. Now, let us just take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for having us gather together in your name to remember your Son, the one true King. And Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. And thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, to be our guide, to be that presence for us so that we know we can live every day in light of you, by your grace and for your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen. Final word. It's short and it's sweet, but I hope it really connects with you. Go and tell. Go and tell. Let us know how, as a church, we can help you in going and telling. If you're at the 9:15 service, maybe you join us for Sunday Connection and you get some insight and some encouragement in how to go and tell there. Or maybe you want to make a time where we can get together, whether it be phone or via email or even a virtual meeting. But that we can really try to encourage you and help you figure out where your sweet spot is, like Marie has found hers. But we hope and pray again that this is a time that will help you know that Jesus didn't just rescue you just for you, even though he loves you from here to eternity, he wants to help you be on mission with him. He wants you to be that voice, the hope that others have not known yet. And so he invites you to be a part of that. Hope you'll take on that invitation and follow where he leads. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has placed you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ, who indwells you, has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen.